Last week I pre-recorded the program, as I was away from home, assisting with the second African rover moot. I'm glad to report that the closing ceremony took place on Saturday morning, and I am now again at home. You will have heard the report on the Hamnet Bulletin this week. Let us begin by catching up on the Pico balloons. ZA6-SRC-37 is currently northeast of Ascension Island in the mid-Atlantic, heading in an easterly direction towards Angola. All vital signs are good, and hopefully this balloon will shortly complete its fourth trip around the southern hemisphere. ZA6-SRC-84 was last heard on 27 July 2026 off the coast of Angola. ZA6-SRC-38 was launched on 3 August 2026, but unfortunately met its demise after colliding with a small tree, and two of the solar panels were damaged. ZA6-SRC-39 was launched on Wednesday, 5 August, with a 10-meter Whisper beacon on channel 65. This balloon is a different manufacturer and design to the other Pico balloons, and it will be interesting to see how it performs compared to the balloons used in the past. This balloon is flying at a higher altitude, approximately 15,360 kilometers above sea level, and is currently flying east over the southern Indian Ocean, approximately midway between South Africa and Australia. Let us now have a look at meteor scatter propagation. There are literally millions of meteors, which are small particles of space debris that enters the Earth's atmosphere every day. As these particles move through the mesosphere, which is the third layer of the atmosphere at approximately 50 to 60 kilometers above the surface of the Earth, they burn up because of the friction caused in this layer and leave behind an ionizing trail. You often see these meteors or shooting stars burning up in the night sky. The ionized trail has the ability to reflect radio signals. If you go to the internet and look at www.livemeteors.com, you will see live images of meteor bursts being detected. The Doppler shift is translated into audio and can be heard as a ping. There are about 10 major meteor showers that orbit the Sun and crosses the path of the Earth annually. The Earth passes through minor meteors early every morning as they are scattered around the Sun. Meteors are debris left over from comets and occasionally asteroids. On the www.livemeteors.com website, you can get up-to-date information regarding active meteor showers. When you look at this list, the meteor showers with a negative declination are the ones best visible in the southern hemisphere. For many years, meteor scatter was used to transmit telemetry data in the US. This system was called SNOTEL. SNOTEL, which stood for Snowpack Telemetry, was a network of remote weather stations across the mountainous regions of Northwest America that measured, amongst other data, the snowfall levels in their respective areas. The SNOTEL network was composed of over 9,000 automated data collection sites located in remote, high-elevation mountain watersheds of the western U.S. They were used to monitor snow depth, precipitation, temperature, and other climatic conditions. The data collected at SNOTEL sites were transmitted to a central database called the Water and Climate Information System, where they were used to make water supply forecasts. This system was decommissioned in 2023 after running for more than 40 years. The use of meteor burst communications for commercial, military, and scientific use has largely disappeared, although radio amateurs continue to have fun with bouncing signals off shooting stars. Analog contacts on phone and fast CW have been accomplished for years. In South Africa, a three-way meteor scatter contact was logged on 50 MHz FM. That lasted about 3 minutes between Johannesburg and Port Elizabeth. This event occurred during the Draconoids Daylight Meteor Shower on 8 October 1985 at 11:17 UTC. Meteor scatter communications is another of the weak signal VHF propagation modes, and MSK144, which is one of the modes in the WSJTX software suite, is used for meteor scatter. Meteor scatter bursts are normally short-lived, and that is the reason why it sometimes takes a while to complete a contact on MSK144. There are many minor meteors present in the early mornings that can produce single pings for digital communications on the VHF bands on FSK441 or MSK144 digital modes. The current distance record on 144 MHz in South Africa now stands at 1,348 kilometers. High power is not required for digital communications. 50 watts and a 10 dB gain Yagi can do the trick. If you want to learn more about meteor scatter communications, take a look at the excellent presentation that was given by Derek ZS5 Yankee at an AMSAT SA symposium. The link to the video is on the amsat.org.za website under the title Make Meteor Scatter Communication Your Next Amateur Radio Project with Derek Gravett, ZS5 Yankee. In this video, Derek will take you through everything that you need to know in order to bounce your signals off a shooting star, including the software and settings. There was also, recently at the HAM SCI 2026 workshop, a presentation on meteor scatter science. Links to both the YouTube video and the presentation are on the text version of this program on the amsat.org.za website. How about telling us about that exciting long-distance contact that you have made on the VHF and above bands? Or about that project that you are working on in the VHF and above bands. Send me a consolidated report of your activity or project with any additional photos, audio or video clips to bjacobzeda@gmail.com. Remember, by sharing your activities with us, allows us to tell the rest of the amateur community about your achievements, and the more we promote the activity on the VHF and above bands, the better chance we have of encouraging more amateurs to explore the world above 30 MHz. This program is compiled, edited, and presented for Amateur Radio Today by Brian Jacobs, ZS6 Yankee Zulu.